Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
I want to talk to you tonight about the next step that every Christian should have in their life. Every Christian. Not every other Christian, not every third Christian. Every Christian should have what we're going to talk about as a real part of their life. And I want to talk to you tonight about the power and the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's critically important that every Christian know what it feels like, know what it means biblically and experientially to have the working of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Now, when you talk about the subject of the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of, people get confused about it and people have a lot of opinions about it. I've learned something as a Christian who's walked in being filled with the Holy Spirit now for, it's been a while, going on 30 years plus, 35 years plus. I can't imagine living without the work and the person of the Holy Spirit in my life. And when people tell me they don't need it, well, I don't need it. Well, it tells me they have no idea what it is, because it isn't an it, it's a person. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He's the third person of the Godhead. And to disparage or to say, well, that Holy Spirit thing, don't need that, or, that can be weird. I think it takes a little bit of, to call God weird, that's fine. If you call family members weird, you might be, at least you're truthful. But to call God weird? Now, Christians can get weird with some of this stuff. But I want to take you into the Word tonight. And I want you to see what Jesus wants for you in regards to the person of the Holy Spirit. And in some regards, some of you may have already experienced what I'm going to talk to you about. But I'm talking about an ongoing relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit in your life. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 out of the New King James I'll be reading. I just came up in my heart to read this to you as we were worshiping. Romans 8, 11. How many of you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you? How many of you have Christ in you? Listen to what Romans 8, 11 says. Tell me if you'd like this. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who dwells in you. How many of you'd like to have the life of God coursing through your mortal body? That word life is the word in the Greek zoe. It means the life of God. He said, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He said, that same Spirit that dwells in you will quicken or give life to your mortal body by the Spirit that dwells in you. We could say it this way. The eternal life of God will flow through your death-doomed body. How many of you know your body is death-doomed? It doesn't live forever. But do you know that while you live on the earth, having the work of the Holy Spirit in your life can cause a mortal body to be animated with the life of God? Anybody ever watched a cartoon? How many of you know cartoons are not real? I hate to just burst your bubble, but cartoons are not real. But if you watch them, I got to tell you, as a kid, I realized, I knew Bugs Bunny wasn't real, but he kind of felt real. But he wasn't. He was animated. Your body is as dead, as it were, without Christ in you, without God's breath in you, as a cartoon. He said, but your body's death doomed, but the person of the Holy Spirit working on the inside of you will animate your body with the life of God while it is in a death doomed condition. That's what He's called you to live. To live in the work and the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian, every believer is called to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Every believer. Every believer is called to be led by the Holy Spirit. To direct you, to guide you. There's guidance available from God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit wants to lead and direct and intimately guide the affairs of your life. That's almost too good to be true. That God Himself. It's fine when you say, well, God wants to lead people. That sounds very generic and you spread that out like butter on the bread. But when you say it this way, God wants to lead and direct and guide the affairs of my life. He wants to show me the way in which I should walk. He wants to order my steps. He wants to lead, direct, and guide me. Every Christian should know how to be filled with the Spirit. And if you have been filled, to know how to remain full and not leak. A lot of folks are filled with the Spirit have leaked. You can leak. That's why Ephesians, he said to a Spirit-filled church, be being filled with the Spirit. Part of the way you do that, the Bible said, is by singing and worshiping God. When you worship God, you stir up and it's an edification, a building up in you. Jude said it this way about praying in the Holy Spirit or praying in other tongues. He said, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith by praying in the Spirit or in other tongues. Now, I realize there's a lot of controversy about speaking with tongues and people make fun of it and all that. That's fine. I understand that. I understand people have a right to do whatever they want to do. But when you drop dead and stand before God, you won't make fun of squat. You stand before a holy God. You won't make fun of one thing that Jesus died for. We've become so intellectual in the church. So cerebral. You know, we've moved beyond those primitive things. If you've moved beyond God, you've moved a little bit too far for me. And the reason I say this bluntly is that in our culture, you have to. We're so brilliant as a culture. I mean, we have more information and more knowledge than you can even imagine. But we're dying and we're rotting on the vine as a culture. The culture sliding down a hill into an abyss. And all of our knowledge and all of our insight and all of our education has done nothing to stop it. It's only escalated it. Because the Bible said the wisdom of this world is sensual and it's devilish. You take wisdom away from the heart of God and you end up with people making themselves God. And you talk about going stupid. You go stupid on steroids when you try to make yourself God. And I'll tell you, it's a dangerous thing. Now, I realize people that don't know the Lord, that's obvious. But Christians, if we're not careful, we can exclude the power of God in our life. And we ought not to do that. Every Christian should know how to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, be able to pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be comforted by the Holy Spirit, have the Holy Spirit be your everyday helper, the one called alongside to help you. Every Christian should be given peace by the person of the Holy Spirit, a peace that passes understanding. You know, this is available to you. It's not only available to you, it is not only your right as a Christian, it is your responsibility as a Christian to walk in these things. We should not be cafeteria Christians. I'll take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I don't want that part, God. No, Grandma didn't like that. And what would people think? Well, I wonder what people thought when a Savior hung on a tree. When he hung as an open shame before all. He said, well, if I live with this fullness of God, people might make fun of me. Yeah, and they will. And you should pray for them and love them. My Bible tells me all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So I don't suffer any persecution. Then you probably don't live godly. If you live godly, I promise you. And I'm not putting anybody down who persecutes you. That's all right. You pray for them. You don't fight those people. But you walk with God closely. There's another kingdom out there that doesn't like Jesus. And he doesn't like his followers. How many of you'd love to have more of the presence of God operational in your life? Listen to what the scripture said in Matthew 3 and verse 11. John the Baptist said these words. He said, I, John, indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Say it out loud. Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. You know, we saw people getting water baptized. The word baptism means immersion. The Bible said Jesus, John said, when he comes, he will immerse you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, right as he was before he ascended into heaven after his resurrection, referred it to it. And listen to what he said in Luke 24, verse 49. Jesus said these words. He said, I am going to send you, this was right before he ascended, the promise of my Father. But you stay in the city of Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high. Say out loud, clothed with power. I want you to see here that Jesus is referring to the baptism with the Holy Spirit as the promise of his Father. How sacred can that be? Jesus is talking about a promise his Father made, and he then called the infilling of the Holy Spirit, or the baptism with the Holy Spirit. which he also called the promise of the Father, he called it an endowment of power. That word power in the Greek is the word dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to be endued with dynamite working power. That's why a lot of times people are very great difficulty overcoming in their life. Because they don't have enough power in their life to blow their nose. But because they're trying to work something up in and of themselves. But there is a power source on the inside of every believer. Like a nuclear power plant that abides infinitely beyond that. That abides in you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. If he dwells in you, he will quicken, animate, give life to your mortal body by the spirit that dwells in you. Look what happened again now here. Acts chapter 1 verse 3. Let's read it again. Jesus is speaking right before his ascension. Verse 3, he said, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit not many days hence or not many days from now. Verse 6, when they were come together, they asked him and said, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put into his own power. But here's what you should know. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Do you know the last thing Jesus said in his dissertation on the earth to his followers before he left was two things. You find it in Mark 16. You find it here in Acts 1. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The Great Commission was the last thing he told us. And then he said, in order to be empowered to be a witness, to do what I told you to do, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it is the last instruction the Master gave. It's the last thing he said. How many of you know the last instruction you give is going to be? Jesus didn't just haphazardly say, oh, by the way, let me mention something to you. I'll just throw this out before I go. It was the last thing he said because it was going to connect all the dots for them. You put others first, go after the people, go reach the world with this message, and you'll need my power to do it. He said, don't you go do it without my power, because you'll make a mess. How many of you have kids? How many of you know the last thing you tell your kids before you leave the house is important? How many of you know when you have their teenagers you're leaving in the house, last thing you tell them are the jobs to do and what not to blow up? Right? You're serious about it because you realize I'm leaving you some final instructions. How many of your kids, when they start to drive, you give them some instructions? That first time they drive out of that driveway with their license. And they're excited and you're in the house praying. And I mean, you're telling them, honey, listen to me. And you're giving them instruction after instruction. If I ever hear you text, I'm telling you, I'll burn your phone. Right? Jesus gave us some instructions. Now look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. This is when the occurrence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened. We need to let the Bible interpret the Bible. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. There were 120 in the room, the Bible says. Mary, Jesus' mother, was there as well, the scripture said. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the words of the utterance. That's supernatural. That wasn't man-made languages. These are languages unknown to them. An unknown tongue. The Bible said when you pray or speak in other tongues, you're speaking in the tongues of men or of angels. But they're unknown to you. They're not unknown to God. And they're not unknown to other people that you may be speaking in their language. And this is what really weirds people out now. Well, I'm a Christian and everything, but let's just not go off the deep end and get into that kind of stuff. Oh, I think you've gone off the deep end when you don't want to go after God. I think that's the deep end for a Christian, to look at God and say, well, you know, Jesus, that last thing you said we needed to do, you understand, Jesus, we're educated now. I'm intelligent. You know me, Jesus. I just know so much. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me. And so I'm just going to leave that off because you understand. Please. I'm too dignified for that. Then you're too dignified. I'm too intelligent. No, you're not too intelligent. Really what it is pride. Wrapped up in all kinds of stupidity when people do that. When you understand that you are a hell-bound person, that a Savior rescued you, all you do is say, yes, 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 I want all you have for me and stuff I don't know you have for me, I want. Because without you, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I'm saying all that in this context because we live in a world that is so cerebral that it'll pull you out of the power of God. You know, I remember, let me share a couple experiences with you. As years ago, when I was preaching, before we started the church, I was preaching at a church in upstate New York. And spoke in the church on Sunday morning. The pastor had started another church in another town about 30, 40 miles away. And we were driving and I was going to speak in that church. They had their Sunday service at Sunday night. So I go down, we're on our way, and he asked me, he said, what do you feel like you're going to speak on? I said, well, I said, I really, to be honest with you, I normally don't do this, but every time I pray about it, I just feel led to talk to them about being filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, oh, okay. He didn't say much to me. And so we went down there. I don't know, there were maybe 180, 150 of them. And I shared similar to what I'm sharing with you tonight. And then I said, if you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come on down here, I'll pray for you. 98% of the church came to the front. I thought I made the wrong call. No, I'm very serious. I thought, well, I must have said that wrong. And I realized there's no way I'm going to be able to pray for that many people one time. So I just said, well, we're going to have to do this a little different. And I said, now, guys, did you understand? And they're all down there waiting. And I'm thinking, well, I know this pastor. How could this be? And then so I remember I just prayed a general prayer, laid hands on some people. And I'm telling you, the power of God fell in that place. People were gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke with other tongues. And I was a little perplexed by it, to be honest with you. We're driving back and the pastor gets me in the car. He said, oh, man, everything in me was going to tell you not to speak on that subject. I said, well, why? I figured, you know, he's the pastor of this church. He's spirit filled. Shouldn't be an issue. He said they hate that subject. I said, they do. He said, yeah, they said that they like me, but that's the part that's it's all passed away. And they went on and on. So, pastor, you just have to leave that off. You're going to be coming down here. He said, but I just figured if God put it in your heart, I'll just shut up and see what happens. We're either going to have a revival or a war. And they changed the name of their church. About 2 weeks later, he called me. He said, John, they changed the name of their church to such and such Pentecostal church. They changed the name. We said, most people don't oppose God. They just don't know the Bible. They've been religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. And see, I know what it's like to be totally ignorant of the Bible. I was raised as a Catholic boy. And this is no disparage anybody of that faith, but we never read the Bible. It just wasn't a part of our practice, at least when I was a Catholic as a kid. Now, we had a Bible in our house, but it weighed 490 pounds. You smashed roses in it and that kind of stuff. Kept important papers or something in it, but you never read it. I didn't know there was an Old Testament or a New Testament. I thought the Bible was like a novel. Never read any of those either. Just, you know, I'm just being honest with you. And so, I remember as a kid when my mom gave her life to Christ through the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, she began to devour the Bible. I still didn't read it. I had no idea why she'd read the Bible. In fact, I remember my grandmother you weren't allowed to read the Bible. And when you start reading the Bible, she'd see my mom reading the Bible, she'd rebuke her, say, you can't read that. You're not allowed to read that. It's forbidden. And she kept reading it anyway. And got a hold of God. And I'm glad she did. And none of this would have happened if she didn't. And so my mom, you know, has four boys. Four of us were teenagers. And the youngest one, baby Jesus, the one they loved, was just little, you know, at the time. And my dad was not a Christian at the time, and he was really hostile about my mom's conversion. I don't know if any of you have had any hostile family members after you came to Jesus, but he was hostile. He was unhappy about it. Wasn't afraid to tell her. Well, long story short, I'm not hostile toward. I just don't know anything about these things. And so my mom, I started to go to these church meetings with her where people like you were at. And you guys, have to tell you, you weirded me out just as a kid. I'm just letting you know. It's why I'm very cautious in the way we do church, because I remember what it felt like to come out where people were experiencing the presence of God for themselves at my expense. And I almost ran away from God just simply because I thought they were worshiping God at my expense. And I don't have time to go into that. Those are extreme things. But nonetheless, I remember one of the meetings, you know, I give my life to Christ through my mom and helping me. And now at this time, I was 16 years old. I had developed a boil on my right eye. Now, if anyone ever had a boil, it's like a pimple times 1,000. They're very unpleasant. It literally looked like a ping pong ball in my eyelid. And it was very, very painful. And so I'd had about 10 or 12 of them up to that point, one after another. And the doctors, you know, trying to give you medication for staph infections, all this stuff. But I also knew that once it got to a certain point, the doctors often would cut it, and it was not pleasant. Well, this is on your eye. So it's pretty, you know, painful. So my mom takes me to the doctor and gives me pain medication. She goes to bed. She lays me out on the couch in the living room because I can't sleep. She gives me the pain medication, but it doesn't help. And so she turns the television on for me and goes to bed. Now, of course, mothers just don't find anything on television. This was back in the UHF days. How many of you remember? How many of you have no idea what that just meant? Bless your heart. None of your business. UHF television. Channel 53. 700 Club. She puts on. Because, you know, she's a mom, but she's going to put something decent on television for a kid. It's about 1 in the morning. She goes to bed. And I'm watching the 700 Club. And Pat Robertson and Ben Kinchlow were praying together. And they ask if people want to receive Christ. I've already done that. And then he said, then he said this, and it astounded me. And people make fun of the 700 Club. Don't do that around me. Okay, because I've seen God use that wonderful program. See, yeah, but I just think that's silly what they do. And the Bible said God will use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And the foolishness of men. The Bible said the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of men. And Pat Robertson's praying. He stops. He said, there's a 16-year-old boy watching with a boil on his right eye, and God wants to heal him. And I just said out loud, I said, what? And he repeated it. Now, I found out later when I was doing an interview on a Christian television thing that in Pittsburgh in the 70s, it was 2 weeks tape delayed. Isn't that interesting? God gave him something for somebody who was going to be watching 2 weeks later. He said, well, I don't know what I think about that. I don't care what you think about it. You didn't have a boil in your right eye. I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't know how to pray. I just said, oh, okay, what do you do with that? Then he said this. He said, if you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, ask God to fill you. Well, I'd never had any teaching about the Holy Spirit. I don't even know what that means. But I do know the Holy Spirit. I knew he was to be reverenced. As a Catholic boy, I used his name every day over and over again when we would pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And every time we ate, I ate a lot. Now, we'd do it quickly. Also, Holy Spirit, amen. Blessed the Lord, blessed the Lord, I receive my body of Christ, the Lord, amen. Some of you have no idea what that was. Some of you know exactly what I just did. And I'm not saying anyone taught me to do that. It just, you know, as a kid. But I knew that there had to be something really special about the Holy Spirit, because he was included in the sign of the cross. Father, Son, and he got two of them. Holy Spirit. No one said that to me. I'm just telling you as a child, my thinking about it. So I just, you know, I thought, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with the Holy Spirit. I just said, okay, God, fill me. That's all I said. I'm laying on a couch. It's 1 o'clock plus in the morning. When I said that, it felt like someone threw a blanket over me. And I found myself speaking in this language. Now, I don't know to my recollection. I thought it was just a few minutes I did it, but I have no idea how long I did that. I fell asleep doing it. Woke up in the morning and my boil's gone. Now, I don't know if you ever had one of those. It'll go away overnight, particularly when they haven't even been cut yet or lanced. And I've never had another one since. Now, you can make fun of all the stuff you want. See, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. Ever. So I don't know. I don't have to think about it. I've experienced, and no one said, well, people coerce people. No one coerced me. I was a Catholic boy. I didn't know anything about anything. The same God that moved on the day of Pentecost wants to move in your life. He's not old and dead. He's alive. He wants to do real works in people's lives. And I know people can get weird with this stuff. And that's why I'm very intentional that it doesn't get weird here. Because I want us to see people come to Christ, almost lead people to Christ all along. And I'm never going to let my experience with God push someone else away. I'm always going to be mindful. I remember the man that taught me the things of God as a young man, my father in the faith, the man who started the Bible school I went to, always said this. He said, you always balance the move and the operation of the Holy Spirit with love. Because that's what the Bible says you do. And if you love somebody, then you'll love them more than what you think you need in a public display of worship. And I said, when you get alone, have at it. But always be mindful of people, lest what you do at their expense. So when you hear me, you know, share these things, you say, well, why does it, you know, I don't see people, you know, jumping off of windows or whatever and the crazy stuff. It isn't crazy. There's nothing crazy about God. Sometimes people are just crazy. How many of you know people can be crazy? They just get full of God and now they're full of God and crazy. That's all right. I'd rather have people full of God and crazy than just crazy. Right? Now, saying all that to say to you, my hope tonight is that you take another step in God. For some of you, you've already been filled with the Spirit. You've experienced this. For many of you, you haven't. And you might think, well, I need to wait. You know, maybe that's for someone special. How many of you are breathing tonight? And it's for you. Jesus died for people. Don't disqualify yourself when God's qualified you. Let me read to you Acts chapter 10, verse 44. I want you to see it in the Bible, and then we're going to do some praying together. Acts 10, 44. This is when Peter was preaching to Cornelius, the Bible said, of the Italian band. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Now, I have special revelation. Cornelius' last name was Nuzzo. You won't be able to find that in the Bible, but it's just my own feelings, you know. While Peter's preaching to this Cornelius, listen to what happens. Acts 10, 44. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard him speak or heard the word. And they of the circumcision, or the Jews, which believed, that believed on Jesus, were astonished. And as many as that came with Peter were astonished. Why? Because it on the Gentiles also, or non-Jews, was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. How'd they know? Look at verse 46. For they heard them do what? Speak with tongues and magnify God. Notice that speaking with tongues does what? It magnifies God. Is it wrong to magnify God? Well, not for a Christian it isn't. So in Acts chapter 2, we find them getting filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. Acts chapter 10, we find the same thing. Now, there are other places. I'm only going to show you one more tonight for time's sake. Look at Acts chapter 19. I want you to see how the Bible calls this the next step for every believer. Verse 1 of Acts 19, Paul's speaking or writing. It's about Paul. It's actually getting written. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Finding certain disciples, he said to them, now listen, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Let's stop right there. What's the first thing Paul, now he thinks he's found followers of Jesus. What's the first question he asked them? Have you been filled with the Spirit yet? It's not the second thing he asked. He didn't ask them, you know, what's your mama's name? Where are you from? He found they were disciples and he said, wait a minute, I need to ask y'all something. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you've become a believer? It's the first question he asked. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think the Apostle Paul had some revelation? How many of you know he went and saw Jesus, was caught up into the third heaven, and much of what you see written in this book was written by the revelation that Jesus gave Paul? It's called the Pauline revelation, the in Christ understanding. How many of you think Paul knew a little bit about walking with Jesus? How many think just a little bit? How many of y'all think he had more, knew a little bit more than you do? Okay, he knew more than me. The first question he asked, not the second, not the third, is this. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Now I'll ask you the question. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Now here's the question. And if you haven't, what do? Well, then you receive. And you can do that tonight. And if you have already, then you rejoice and you exercise that wonderful gift. And you can pray in the Spirit. You can worship in the Spirit. It's a marvelous thing to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So lest we just go off the page here, let's read on and see what happened when they got spirit-filled. And they said to him, verse 2 still, we've not even heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. Well, now Paul knows they're not saved. He said, well, then what were you baptized? They said, we were baptized into John's baptism. John is John the Baptist. Then Paul said, John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Now, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They gave their life to Jesus and were baptized in water. Next thing he did. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were, there were only 12 men. Now, 3.5 years later, the church at Ephesus had 25,000 people in it. Started with 12 men getting spirit-filled, born again and spirit-filled. And isn't it interesting? Here in the scripture, Paul didn't just have a theory. He didn't just do a class. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? He said, well, what Holy Spirit? We never even heard of the Holy Spirit. He said, well, then were you baptized in the name of Jesus? And they're like, no, that's John's baptism. Well, he leads them to Christ. He water baptizes them. He doesn't put them on a 12-year learning spree. He lays hands on them to get spirit filled. And the Bible said they begin to speak with other tongues. And if you really study out your Bible, you'll find it in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, when Paul was spirit filled, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. And it's available to every Christian. And, you know, interestingly enough, when years ago when we were traveling, man, I can't believe I missed this Wednesday here. A guy that I tell the story of showed up at our church and he's now pastoring a church. And this was in the mountains of North Carolina, and I spoke for his mom and dad. And I'm sure, I know his dad's in heaven. I don't know if his mom's still living. And his name was Junior. And it was a wild church. I just got to tell you, it was wild, okay? I'm telling you, wild. Wild, wild, wild. I don't have time to go into it, but let me tell you, it was wild. And so every night, I'd pray for people to be spirit-filled. Well, every time Junior would come up, his mother would just go into a fit. She was the pastor, really, of the church, not his dad. And so the minute I'd go to pray for him, she'd start crying and screaming and beating on him. And God filled Junior with the Holy Spirit. God, she'd scream. And Junior, the minute Mom would start screaming, he'd start crying. It happened 3 nights in a row. And I'm thinking, this is a bad job. It's not going to work. Because every time I go to pray for Junior, he just starts crying. The Bible doesn't say to fill with the Holy Spirit and cry. So I'm thinking the last night, it's my last shot to help Junior. So I said, Junior, I feel led to pray for you. Would you come on up here? I said, but I just need to be just very private. I told everybody, between me and Junior. So he came up there and I whispered in his ear, Junior, listen to me. Don't cry. Don't say anything. Don't pray. Don't shout. Stand there stone cold. Nothing's going on. I want to talk to you. And I'm whispering. You know, people are probably thinking, dear God, what'd Junior do? He's whispering in his ear, you know. And I talked to him. I told him in about 30 seconds to 90 seconds about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to pray for him. I said, but Junior, I'm going to whisper the prayer because I don't want your mother to hear it. And I said, when I'm done, God is going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Junior, for 20 years, been trying to get filled with the Holy Spirit. But every time he did, his mother started beating on him. He'd start crying. And I whispered in his ear, and I just, see, you don't have to work anything up. You don't have to get the music rolling. Just in a whisper, I said, Father, I lay my hands on Junior, and I ask you to fill him with your precious Holy Spirit. That quick. He throws up both hands in the air, begins to worship God in other tongues. And then he interpreted it and taught and interpreted out the call of God on his life. He's pastoring a church now. It was an awesome thing. And it was a year ago, I don't know where I was. I was out of town on a Wednesday night. He and his wife showed up to church here and they found Michelle. And she said, honey, you're never going to ever going to believe it. But Junior came to church tonight. Just to get to wind up the story, his mother, actually his father, when he ended the service, all the services we had, he said, because they were used to wild stuff. And I'm more of a teacher. I'm not wild. And he's just as serious as he could be. And he stood up and he said, well, these meetings aren't much of what we expected. Kind of disappointing, just that plain. He said, but at least Junior got filled with the Holy Spirit. And we went home, you know. Now, I said that to you tonight because Paul asked about the next step. He said, and for every person here tonight who's never been filled with the Holy Spirit, look, you come to this church, you might as well get in on this. Everyone thinks you're one of us anyway. Can I ask you a question? Well, people say, well, I haven't received tongues. You don't receive tongues. Tongues is not when you receive the Holy Spirit, the person of the third person of the Godhead. And when you get spirit filled, he endows you with his power and you worship God in the spirit or in other tongues. So that's supernatural. Yeah, he's God. I that makes me nervous. Can you get nervous about stuff that isn't from God? Get nervous about sin. Get nervous about doing stupid things, but don't get nervous about getting full of God. Amen. See, don't let your mind get twisted. And so I've been, Michelle, both of us have been spirit-filled for years and years and years. But you never, people would come here and they say, well, I've never heard you do that. You know, I've never, because it's not for you. It's not about a show. It's about a personal intimacy with God. It's available to every Christian to be full of the Spirit. So enabling you to be led of the Spirit, to get a deeper revelation of the teacher, of the Bible says the Holy Spirit's a teacher, an unveiling of the truths of the Word. I'll tell you what, I want all of God I can get. And remember this, it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everyone say gift. That means it's free. It means you can't earn it. It means this experience cannot be merited. So it means if you're a child of God tonight, if you're breathing, this is for you. See, yeah, but you don't know the messed up stuff in my life. And you don't know the power available to get you out of the mess. It's amazing how we can be stupid sometimes, isn't it? Lord, I'm just too messed up for your power. How am I going to get out of my mess with my power? Well, but let me get out of my mess and I'll get your power. No, no, no. You get the power and he gets you out of the mess. Anything I am today, anything I've ever done, anything I've ever achieved, any gain I've ever made in my life, any spiritual advancement in my life, all of it, not 90% of it, 100% of it is all Jesus, all the presence of His Spirit, all of His glory, all of His grace, and none of me. All of it. And so every Christian, this is available to every believer. So I want to ask you a simple question tonight. For those of you who have never had that Bible experience, if Paul the Apostle were standing here today and met you and found out you were a Christian, you know the first thing he'd ask you? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? I'm going to ask you that question. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? If you're here tonight and you'd say to me, you know, Pastor John, I am a Christian, but I've never been filled with the Spirit according to the Scripture. You do understand that if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit's in you and that you've been born of the Holy Spirit. But there is a subsequent and separate experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's available to you. It's available to you right now, tonight. just like you are. And nothing has to be crazy and wild and worked up. You simply have to receive. And I'm going to teach you how to do that in less than 3 minutes. It's that simple. Because you see, getting a gift is not complex. Going to work and earning an income and earning something, that's complex. Gifts are not complex. Gifts, you just have to know how to tear off wrapping paper. 2-year-olds can do that. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you are a believer, Jesus is the Lord of your life, but you've never had this Bible experience. And you say to me, Pastor John, I want someone to pray with me tonight. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want this Bible experience they had in Scripture. And I want to leave here endued with power. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You say, Pastor, I'm going to want someone to pray for me tonight. Just quickly, right where you're at right now, and don't hesitate. Look, you're here. You might as well get everything you've got God has for you. Say, Pastor, I'm going to want that Bible experience. I want to be filled with the Spirit. Right where you're seated right now, just put your hand up real high so I can see it, so I can get an idea how many of us we're going to be praying for. Lift it real high so I can see it, okay? Wonderful. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. Now, before we go another step, I'd ask everyone just to stick around. We're not in any hurry. I promise it won't keep you longer than what's appropriate. I want to make certain everybody here knows Jesus before we go one step further. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to make certain, if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you don't know that if He died tonight, where you'd spend forever, if you don't know where you'd spend forever, if you don't know that you've ever given your life to the one who gave His life for you, Christ, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. Jesus will come into your heart. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, say, Pastor, would you include me in a prayer? Invite Jesus in my heart. I will pray for you right where you're seated. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Just lift your hand up real high right now so I can see it, and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. Thank you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. We'll pray it with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.